It is Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Let's talk some fantasy baseball here on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Adam Azer, Scott White, Al Melchior. We got a lot to talk about, including David Price's horrible start. Take that, Chris Archer.
Take that.
You weren't that bad. 8 runs in 3 2/3. We'll help you out with week 3 as we take a look at the 2-star pitchers. Jake Arrieta threw a no-hitter.
Really?
Yeah, he sure did.
No way.
Yeah. I didn't know about it until this morning. Confession.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
What?
No hitter?
It's like, it's just so commonplace for him.
Yeah, he's amazing.
It's another Thursday.
It's really incredible what he's done. 24 consecutive quality starts, during which Jake Arrieta has a .86 ERA. So we'll talk about that and more. Your email's at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. All right. So I am in the Fort Lauderdale office with Scott and Al.
Yeah,
and
here.
Shocking and here. Rocking our world.
This is going to be our best podcast in months because we can look you in the eye.
I hope.
And we're not going to talk over you because we can see your mouth moving when you're talking.
But I sound like crap, and I apologize, everybody. I'm having a weird microphone issue, and I'm trying to get through it. I hope it's not too much of a distraction. What are your favorite Prince songs?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask that, and it's a tough one. I'm going to go with Sign of the Times.
For some reason, I'm not especially familiar with Prince's catalog. I know he's a huge deal. I don't know why, like, I know Michael Jackson's catalog very well, but Prince's, I could give you the name of a song because I've heard other people talk about it, but I don't know how it goes.
Remember
he was a New Girl. He was
in the New Girl episode?
That was a great episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was never the biggest Prince fan.
Do you have a favorite, though?
Little Red Corvette.
Yeah, it's definitely a contender.
Yeah, you know, the one you named, I don't even remember it, and I've never heard of it. What was it called?
Sign of the Times, which was a title track of an album that he did.
Very talented guy. Wasn't really for me, but extremely talented. Tremendous guitar player. Somebody posted a clip of him playing at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I watched that last night. Amazing.
My Guitar Gently Weeps. Yeah. Very, very pretty. Very cool solo. And that guy was awesome. So Bill gave us a whole bunch of Prince team names. Purple Rains, as in Tim Raines. When Cubs Cry. That is my favorite one. And then I don't really know, like, Little Red... Venditti, but that doesn't really work.
Yeah, you have to
Bill.
Mispronounce a name.
Yeah. So I'll let you look at these names. Raspberry Zito Beret isn't that bad.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Those are the only ones I really got.
My name is Prince Fielder. That's right, because he has a song. My name is Prince.
Prince Fielder was named for him.
Yeah, I just learned that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any other good ones on that list?
There's some good ones. Couple that we can't read. Because
a couple that we can't read? I left off the one. That we couldn't...
Yeah, there's a couple there that are, I think, are borderline.
Okay.
But I like Posey Park, which is Paisley Park.
Okay.
I like that a lot.
All right. Thank you, Bill, for the team names and RIP. All right, here's Jake Arrieta. Complete game, no hitter, shutout, obviously, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts, second no hitter, 119 pitches. He's 4-0 with a .87 ERA. He has 6 walks to 26 strikeouts in 31 innings pitched, 3 scoreless starts out of 4. Oh my goodness. How behind Clayton Kershaw is Jake Arrieta?
I don't think it's a conversation. I think he's in the conversation for second best, but it's just the thing that two things that he does so well are to limit hard contact and limit hits on balls in play. And those are just things that I trust a little bit less than just missing bats altogether.
Not that he's not a strikeout pitcher, but there's no,
right.
There's no comparison to Kershaw. I agree. So, I mean, I might move him ahead of Scherzer for number two. I could get behind that, but yeah, still Kershaw, clear number one.
Now, there have been 4 pitchers since the beginning of 2013 who have posted BABIPs of 260 or below. Arrieta is one of them at 249. I know we can't use the whole podcast to this, but any guesses who the other 3 might be?
What was it again? BABIP below what?
260 or lower over the last 3-plus seasons.
Kershaw?
Nope. He is number 5, though.
Dallas Keuchel?
Nope.
I have no idea.
Chris Young? He's the king of low BABIP.
Okay.
233. Marco Estrada, kind of similar type pitcher, 246. And then Arrieta's third. Fourth is Johnny Cueto, and he's a guy that I cite over and over again as somebody who succeeds a lot.
apparently
because
we're
of
just
his,
not
his unique ability to avoid hits.
Apparently, we're just not listening to you.
Apparently.
No, but I mean, come up with them.
But that's pretty outstanding with Arrieta, 11 points below Cueto,
yeah,
who's unique. And unlike Young and Estrada, Arrieta's a ground ball pitcher.
Yeah,
it's just, he's a freak of nature.
Arrieta, it's like guy throws a no-hitter, and there's like no fantasy analysis. You know this guy's an amazing stud, and he's confirmed what he did last year, I guess. He's confirming what he did last year. Now, if you're playing FanDuel tonight, or if you're just in a daily lineup, I've got a BVP, batter versus pitcher test. Let's see what happens. We like Jason Kipnis. We're kind of lukewarm on Justin Verlander right now.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Kipnis is 4-42 lifetime against Justin Verlander. I see numbers like that, and I start thinking in my daily league lineups, I might consider sitting Jason Kipnis. Forget about FanDuel or whatever. Just in a daily roster team. Uh-huh. You sit Jason Kipnis, he's 4-42 with 7 walks and 14 strikeouts against Justin Verlander.
Well, you have to have a pretty good backup second baseman in that scenario.
If you have Logan Forsythe, I would start Logan Forsythe over Jason Kipnis today.
I could get behind that. Forsythe got on base 5 times yesterday. He's hot.
But he's also facing CeCe Sabathia, left-hander.
Yeah.
Gonna kill him. He's your second baseman in FanDuel tonight.
Talking about DFS, though, FanDuel, Verlander's, I'm very strict about what kind of pitcher I'm willing to start hitters against, and Verlander doesn't pass the test for me. I wouldn't start any Indian. I would, I don't like starting hitters against any pitcher that I think is capable of a good start. There's usually enough.
What's the point?
Complete duds out there that I could just, and I don't like to have, except maybe in a tournament scenario, but for my cash lineup, I don't like to double up a lot, you know, 3 or 4 hitters from the same team, you know, just to kind of spread the risk. But
no stacks
there's
for this
usually
man.
Not, you know, tournaments are different. I could throw any tournament lineup out there and hope to get lucky, but cash games where you're looking to sustain your bank roll, I think I used that terminology right. Yeah, I like to spread it among the pitchers who I just think are terrible, like Sabathia. So I would probably start a Ray or two.
All right, more on FanDuel a little bit later. Now let's talk about some struggling studs. Yesterday it was Chris Archer. Today it's David Price, Max Scherzer, and Dallas Keuchel. Price had one of his worst starts that in a very, very long time. But I will remind everybody: yesterday was April 21st. On April 22nd of 2015, David Price gave up 8 earned runs on 10 hits and 2 and a third against the Yankees. Yesterday, he gave up 8 runs and 3 2/3 against the Rays. So it has happened before. But I'll just cut to the chase here. David Price, Max Scherzer, Dallas Keuchel, who also struggled, 6 runs on 13 hits and 6 innings at Texas. Are you concerned about any of these three guys?
I'm not, and the difference between any of the three of them and Archer is that Archer is now going on a month and a half, going back to last year, of having a clear identifiable major issue, which is his slider, which I think we talked about yesterday. These to me just look like isolated starts, like the one you mentioned last year with Price, and maybe the lesson here with Price is just never start him in week 3 of any season. I think it's just one of those starts for each of these guys.
Yeah, I'm not even... I wasn't on yesterday's show, so I didn't get a chance to chime in, but I'm not even really that worried about Archer because, his location's off, but that seems infinitely correctable. And he's aware of it. It was an issue where I think he even said he didn't even throw his slider much this spring because he was working on other things. So it's just, you see this a lot of times, particularly from power pitchers this time of year. They're just not in midseason form yet, and it takes a few starts to get there.
All right, let's talk about some of the big news. There's not that much big news. Danny Valencia is part of this, so you know there's not huge news. Valencia's on the DL with a strained hamstring. Scott, you like Danny Valencia. Is he worth hanging on to? Look, DL slot, there's no downside.
Well, yeah, DL slot.
In general, slow start.
If there wasn't a free DL spot, I don't think there's much reason to if it's standard league or shallower, because I know I use this explanation a lot, but you drop him, nobody's picking him up. Maybe somebody with a free DL slot, but I have a feeling there's probably more attractive DL stashable players on your waiver wire right now.
Minnesota could use Miguel Sano at third base.
Now, when you say could use, what the most recent thing I read was he was an emergency option. So is that what we mean? Or?
So here's what happened. Okay. Glad you asked. There was a link to the story on CBS. Oh yeah. I talked about this last year. I'm going to talk about it again. Every day, I think it's late at night on CBSSports.com on our MLB arena. They put together, the writers put together a sort of, here's what's going on in baseball recap blog, and it's very helpful. In fact, you can write my show notes for me, because basically that's like the main thing I use for the injuries, news, and notes. So go out there. You can follow along. I just pretty much go in order of what they write in their little recap. So one of the stories they had was about Sano going to third base. So I clicked on the link, and it wouldn't load. So I clicked on it again, and it wouldn't load. So all I saw was the headline, Al. So I'll just take your word for it. Emergency third baseman for Miguel Sano. Kevin Gausman, 53.
I just want to add, apparently he's been terrible in right field.
Oh, okay.
So wherever they put him, they're not going to be happy with the defense. It's just where are they going to be the happiest?
Kevin Gausman, 53% owned, could make a start Monday for Baltimore against Tampa Bay. I guess that would put him in the two-star pitchers discussion. Thoughts on Gausman? Is he somebody you're looking to pick up?
Definitely. However, probably not starting him even in a two-star week, the first week off the DL.
Okay. Tyson Ross is going to be out two more weeks, but he will not need surgery. Meanwhile, Robbie Erlin is on the DL with a strained left elbow. Any interesting prospects here for San Diego?
I mean, given that the back of the rotation didn't look that great to start with Erlin and Colin Ray, I'll be honest and say I don't remember who lost out in that competition. But Brandon Maurer.
It was Robbie Ray.
Colin?
Well, no, because now Ray's back in because of Ross. You mean?
I'm sorry. It was Robbie Erlin.
Robbie Erlin.
Gosh, got to say names right on this show. Yeah, Robbie Erlin lost initially.
That's right. Colin Ray beat him out.
So who the extra guy is...
Gosh, probably doesn't matter.
It probably doesn't.
Let's move on. Who cares? You stink, San Diego pitching.
Because they don't have Matt Whistler anymore, so...
No. He's doing good things for the Braves instead.
Billy Burns. People were worried about him. Billy Burns has now led off in 5 straight games, 7 out of 8, and he has 4 steals. So that's nice to see. And I don't know if you saw Clayton Kershaw's velocity is way down. He threw a 46-mile-per-hour pitch to Tyler Flowers yesterday. Very funny video on that. Chase it down. And speaking of chasing, I didn't even realize this, but Heath changed his team name in the Podcast for the People League, which is a very wordy league name, by the way. I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
He changed his team name to Dong Chasers. So good for you, Heath. Way to go. Tweet of the day. Dan McNamee. This one cracked me up. Well, this one made me laugh. I oversold it. He said, thanks for yelling, hey Siri, on the podcast. Of course it activated on my phone. How many other listeners did you get? Dan, you're the only one who commented, but that is really funny. I did not even consider that. I activated people's Siri. That is very
cool. That's power.
We have a lot of power on this show. Hey Siri. What should we say? Look up. I don't know. Let's get people in trouble. Order a pizza to my boss. All right. Anyway, Addometer, Dropometer. Who are we adding and dropping? Jake Lamb, 44% owned. Put him on the Addometer, 0 to 10.
I'll give it a 6, which is probably going to be on the high side for this list. I'm intrigued. I mean, big numbers throughout his minor league career. It was underwhelming last year, but seems to be playing more regularly, some against left-handers, and obviously he's been productive so far.
You've already looked at the list, and you're just not impressed?
Well, chances are, if guys I'm adding are to the point now where they're not going to have a low enough ownership percentage to make this list, because... I was with the wave of everybody else adding them already, you know?
Oh, we're trying to get ahead of it.
But...
I suppose I'm a little surprised that Lamb is only 44% owned. He's batting .316 with 2 home runs, 7 doubles, 10 RBI, 8 walks, and 14 strikeouts. So pretty good start.
Sure.
I'd go 7. There's really no reason, I think, not to add him, other than the fact that it's just... You know, third base, there's some good deep options there. But I give him a 10. I mentioned this on the podcast yesterday. But now that you're here in person, I can show you a 10 for adding him to my avatar. on Twitter.
Why did you add him to your The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway? What's it supposed to
say? So it's a Genesis album cover, The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, except I've super, well, Matt, our Matt Brodsky superimposed him on the album cover.
Very good.
So
yeah, that is good.
Best, what's the best song on that album?
Carpet Crawlers.
So here's the thing about Al. He doesn't like any of the good Genesis songs. He only likes the he only likes the Genesis songs that people his age have heard. I'm sorry. That sounded so mean. Oh my God!
But absolutely true.
Yeah, I mean, he just doesn't like good Genesis. It's
but
very
check
strange.
Out Carpet Crawlers. It's one of their best songs.
I'm gonna write it down
on any album.
Because I once again have forgotten the name of the Prince song you mentioned, but I will write down Carpet Crawlers.
I'll give you a whole playlist.
Okay, cool. All right, how about Michael Saunders, 22% on two more hits and a double at Baltimore. We talked about him yesterday, leading off for Toronto, 22%. You see that Attometer on Michael Saunders.
Well, if I gave Lamb a 6, I'm going to probably give Saunders a 4, which isn't complete disinterest. I'm not as convinced there's upside as I am with Lamb. I felt like there used to be. And I was hopeful last year leaving Seattle, going to Toronto. You know, maybe he could recapture
not,
that.
Not trip on the sprinkler head.
Yeah, which is what ultimately happened, ruined his season. But yeah, 7 doubles already and batting leadoff for the Blue Jays currently. That was a spot I loved Pilar in. But just, you know, Pilar was capable of more things than I think Saunders is. I'm not sure Saunders is better than, like, Nick Markakis, except Nick Markakis walks a lot, too. Better supporting cast,
right, but
for
he
sure.
Doesn't, he doesn't hit lead off for the Blue Jays.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, I'd probably put Nick Markakis at about a 4 also if he was in this discussion. So, you know, I kind of wanted to play off something Al just said about Lamb. There's no reason not to add him, and I agree. I'd love to add all these players. The biggest reason not to add them, of course, is you have to drop somebody who you already think is good, and that's why maybe my ratings sound on the low side.
That's fine. We have the drop-o-meter coming up, so we can talk about some players who are owned in a lot more leagues that might be droppable at this point, and we'll see if you'd make any swaps.
Well, once again, I'm going to just one up Scott just by
yeah,
a notch.
One up
go,
me.
Go 5 on Saunders. Because I think he is a little better than Markakis, and not just because of heading for the Blue Jays, which is, I think, a pretty big deal. But I think he's got a little bit more power.
All right, how about the next guy? He's owned in basically the same amount of leagues as Saunders. He plays the same position. He's Melvin Upton, who has the second most steals in baseball with 5. Only Jose Altuve has more. Upton's batting .288 right now with 2 home runs and 5 steals, 8 walks, 12 strikeouts. And in the last 2 months of 2015, he batted .289 with a .353 on base and a .488 slugging percentage. He only stole 3 bases, but he's already eclipsed that. Wow, Melvin Upton.
Yeah, this is very interesting because we know he has upside. I mean, he used to be a fantasy mainstay, a power speed guy. And showing power and speed already this season. The biggest issue for me, though, is the strikeout rate. It's way down.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be a low strikeout guy all of a sudden, but if there's any improvement in the improvement he's shown in contact rate to this point, to me, hints at the possibility that he's corrected whatever went wrong for him in Atlanta. I think just for the possibility of getting that power-speed combo, I might go 5 on him, limiting it to roto leagues. I can't imagine picking him up in a points league. But for the same reason I was excited about Michael Taylor coming into the year, I'm excited about Melvin Upton now, to the point that I would certainly swap him Taylor out for Upton, with as much as Taylor has struck out.
I'm going to 3 up Scott this time. Go
whoa,
8. Because,
whoa.
Yeah, because the only league I'm not really adding Upton in is a 3 outfielder league, you know, typically a points league. But no, any roto league. I tried to add him to our 2 12-team office, mixed office roto leagues. He was already taken. And as I mentioned to Scott offline, he actually was available in a deeper league, so I was able to pick him up in that one.
But this guy has been a horrible player for like 3 years now, right?
Yeah.
2 or 3?
Yep.
So you can't drop anyone you really like for Justin Upton or for Melvin Upton.
No, but in those leagues where I wanted to pick him up, there were players that I wanted to drop. In the league where I did pick him up, I dropped Joey Ricard. Like that seemed...
Rickard.
Or Rickard.
There it is.
There it is. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm trying.
Five steals is impressive.
I wish there was kind of like a line that we could, that would just be kind of understood. I don't know if it would be like leagues where 300 players are rostered. Like maybe that's the cutoff where, you know, if there's more than that rostered in your league, there's pretty much always somebody low end enough to drop. But if there's fewer owned than that in your league, mm-hmm. Not always.
Did you drop Jeremy Hazelbaker for Upton?
I don't think I could do that yet, but I could see Upton be better than him, certainly.
Al's thinking about it.
Yeah, I don't think I would, okay. Actually.
Jose Ramirez is 7% owned. Now we're talking real deep leagues here. Al, you kind of like Jose Ramirez.
I do like him, yeah.
Put him on the addometer.
I will give him a 7. So not quite as much as Upton, not quite the same appeal.
But he's higher than Michael Saunders. Does that mean you would add him over Saunders?
Sure, I would, because he's shortstop eligible. So there's just more of a chance, I think, of finding room for Ramirez.
He could keep his playing time when Brantley comes back, right? They got some scrubs.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. Maybe at third base with Juan Uribe.
Well, he plays the outfield.
Yeah, I think he could be Marlon Byrd. Kind of a super utility guy. Yeah.
Well, Rajay Davis is the one that I would think would get priority over him.
And Chisenhall?
Yeah, Chisenhall, I think, is a lock in right field. Right. But I could be wrong about that.
DH?
I don't know. I've never really been that excited about Ramirez. I'd probably go like 2.
Okay. To the drop-o-meter, some guys that you might be considering dropping right now. Shelby Stinkin' Miller. Mechanical problems, but also, you know, just really bad. 8.59 ERA, 2 innings yesterday. 11 walks, 10 strikeouts in 14 and two-thirds. Shelby Miller is 86% owned. Where is he on your drop-o-meter?
I'm gonna start with the line I just made. Mm-hmm. 300 players rostered or fewer. I think Shelby Miller is looking like maybe like a 6 or a 7. I'll say 6.
Okay, let's put this in perspective. 300 players rostered is a lot, right?
Well,
that's a
standard,
deep league.
Standard head-to-head league, 12 teams, 21 players is 252. Standard, at least the Rota we usually play, 12 teams, 30 is,
right?
360. So I'm kind of just taking the halfway point between those two formats because that 100 player range is a big one.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Ooh, man. I can't see myself dropping Shelby Miller. I think I own him in one league. I won't be dropping him yet, but it's getting dicey.
Yeah, I'll go 7. I could definitely see it.
I mean, look at his ownership percentage versus like Adam Conley's. I'd rather have Conley right now.
Would you rather have Chris Tillman?
No.
Would you?
I mean, I wouldn't drop Miller for Tillman.
Would you rather have Jay Happ?
Yeah, I would.
I don't think so, but more because I'm not really that impressed by what Happ has done with the peripherals than because I'm that protective of Miller. He's been so awful. In a shallower league, which is kind of what I'm trying to say with the 300, I just don't think there's going to be much attention given him if you drop him. I think he'll just kind of sit
there.
I'd
pick him up. Not in a 10-team league. Yeah, I think I would pick him up. If he were available in any of our leagues, I think I'd own him.
Like him versus Rich Hill, who was obviously one of the bigger starting pitcher performers yesterday, 10 strikeouts against the Yankees.
Who are terrible. Worst team ever. But second fewest strikeouts in baseball, the Yankees.
Very patient team.
Yeah, but we've seen...
And that's amazing. He struck out 10 of them.
Sure. No,
kudos.
I mean, he can strike out a lot of batters any given day. He can also give up a lot of runs any given day. And it's that schizophrenia that makes me rather just... I'd rather just stick it out with Miller and hope he turns it around, because I feel like at least maybe there could be some consistency there.
All right, how about Brandon Finnegan? In any league where you're not starting him as a relief pitcher, in a non-points league, RP mm-hmm. league, Brandon Finnegan, 71% owned, 2 bad starts in a row now. The last one was actually 0 earned runs, but it wasn't a very good start. He gave up 4 or 5 runs total, 4 runs in 5 innings at the Cardinals. Where's Finnegan on your drop-o-meter?
He's right now just a 4 for me, because I want to see more. I just think there's the possibility that I miss out on something really good even in a roto league where the RP eligibility means nothing.
I'll go eight. When the RP eligibility means nothing, I'm not sure how many good starts he's really had. He had one high strikeout start in the beginning, but a lot of walks in those first two, and then this start was just plain bad. So I would have no reservations about dropping him for the latest thing.
How about Ian Desmond?
He's just starting to heat up.
Yeah, I mean, he had one home run yesterday, I understand. But Ian Desmond is 82% owned. The way I frame it, this is Friday, right? We're not going to talk to you again until Monday. So there are going to be players over the weekend that you want to pick up. Ian Desmond's on your roster. Maybe you picked up another shortstop, or you're okay there. Drop-o-meter, Ian Desmond.
Two. Okay. I got to give him, look, I think I'm the high guy on him in the office. I feel like, especially nice, I think a couple of good games back to back. A good game on Thursday for sure. So again, I need to give him at least a week or two to see if he can really snap out of this.
Well, I'm going to make a distinction here again. In leagues with a middle infield spot to fill, I'm probably with Al on the two there. But if there's not, I might go eight again on Desmond because, it kind of depends on whether you were one of the ones who picked up Eugenio Suarez or Marcus Semien or any of those other shortstops making noise early. And I'd rather have them all than Desmond right now, and I'd rather have a free bench spot than stash a guy who I'm probably never going to use and who may end up losing his job here soon enough when Shin-Soo Chu returns, because I don't think Nomar Mazara is going back down.
What if you own Trevor Story and Ian Desmond? Are you confident enough in Trevor Story to let Desmond go?
Oh, I am. I mean, I think the downside for Story is comparable to the upside for, well, maybe not the upside for Desmond, but what we saw from Desmond last year, I think that's about as bad as it could get for Story.
I'm definitely starting Story over Desmond. I don't have huge doubts about Story, but I'm just not dropping Desmond, not because of, a lack of confidence in Story, but just because I think he may have greater value a few weeks down the line, maybe just to trade him.
I'm going to just name the rest of these guys that I have on the drop-o-meter, and you tell me who you would be most likely to drop, who you would be least likely to drop. They're all owned between 63% and 70% of our CBS Sports leagues. Ketel Marte, Steven Souza, Byron Buxton, Brock Holt, Kevin Pillar, and Evan Gattis. Seasonal leagues, non-keeper, not dropping Buxton in a keeper league. Marte, Souza, Buxton, Holt, Pillar, and Gattis. Most likely to drop, least likely to drop. Who would they be?
Most likely to drop is Brock Holt, easily.
And he has the highest ownership percentage. But I agree. Just not enough upside to protect him.
Least likely, probably
Gattis.
It's between Gattis and Buxton. And Buxton, it's the same argument that I made for Finnegan, which is just, even though he's not done much good lately, I didn't, draft him, to see what he'd do.
But to say that Buxton hasn't done much good lately, like, at least Finnegan had two good starts. Buxton does nothing. He's terrible.
If he's been terrible, he could get sent down. I understand that.
One walk, 18 strikeouts.
But I'm not ready to drop him.
No, I'm not either.
I feel like if Brock Holt wasn't on this list, I would have said Buxton would be the most droppable for me. Because, and this is the third time I'm going to make this argument, I know, but like if I dropped him and he has this 3-for-4 game, it's not like anybody else is more likely to pick him up than I am. There's a very good chance I could get him back.
Unless he does it the next day and then you have the last waiver priority on him. Buster.
I guess there's a chance, but A, it's unlikely it'll happen the very next day.
And B, it's unlikely it'll happen.
B, there's that too. It might not be a straight waiver league. It might be Fab or whatever else.
Well,
Gattis, I agree, would be the least likely to drop just in the hope he gains catcher eligibility.
I don't know that I'm dropping Buxton. I'm not dropping him I have him in our five outfielder league. No way I'm dropping him. Not yet. But he is my worst player, so I've had to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But in a three outfielder league, I'd be cool with it. Seasonal three outfielder.
Okay, sure.
Buxton.
Three outfielder leagues, I am on the verge of dropping like Alex Gordon.
Gordon's overrated.
Yeah, no, Gordon is fringy.
Okay. Well, then I think I think Buxton's not really any better than that. Do you have Buxton ranked ahead of Gordon?
No, I don't. But
it's
a range of possibilities. He could, I mean, much lower floor for Buxton this season, but he's also been somebody we've all talked about as a potential Rookie of the Year candidate.
So, yeah, Gattis, I just wanted us to mention the catcher eligibility thing, because that hopefully will happen sometime in the near future. How's fantasy going for you guys? Let me, Scott White, what the hell have you done in these roto leagues? You're destroying us by 80,000 points.
Yeah, I'm over 100 in both, right?
At least in one. And I think I'm in second in one. I don't know where I am in the other, but what is going on? And do you feel like you're peaking too early? Because you know how it is in these roto leagues. Like last week, I had Drew Smiley in that league. I gained 17 points in one day. So these big swings happen.
Well, they're going to happen less and less.
Yeah,
I've been first both. For, I like to think I'm just good at this fantasy baseball thing.
You are, but so are the rest of us. Like you're lapping us. It's crazy.
I think it's not a coincidence that in both of those roto leagues, I have Jose Altuve.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah, you know, I didn't get a chance to read it, but I know Chris and Heath wrote a blog or an article about redoing their top five, and it was teased, should Jose Altuve be in the top five? Who's in your top five now if you're drafting again today? Does anything change?
No, it would probably be the exact same. Because five was like the drop-off came after that. You know, it was Trout, Harper, Goldschmidt. Probably not in that order for me, but whatever. Kershaw and Donaldson. I know some people wouldn't include Kershaw, so maybe if you were one who was just dead set against leaving a pitcher out of the top five, you could talk about Altuve fifth.
Fine. Is he the fifth best hitter now? I think those top four for now are pretty entrenched.
You could certainly make the argument, but you could have anyway. I think you could make an argument for Manny Machado. I think Manny Machado might be the most underrated superstar in baseball today, because if there wasn't Harper and Trout going on, he might be like the face of baseball, even ahead of Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt's always going to be.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why. No, I guess just because Arizona, not a lot of.
Yeah, it's so weird. Yeah. I bet you, like, I have, you know, I'm home for Passover. I have, like, Passover Seder tonight. I will do an experiment. I will ask everybody there, do you know who Paul Goldschmidt is? I'll ask, I'm sorry if this sounds sexist, but I will ask the men. I know the women in the crowd. They don't care about baseball. They will not know. I'll ask all the men, do you know who Paul Goldschmidt is? And we'll see. I bet it'll be under 50%. Definitely no Trout.
I got to report back on Monday.
Yeah, I will.
Would Josh Donaldson be under 50% though?
Okay, I'll ask that one too.
We need a control group here.
I'm going to listen to that Genesis song, and I'm going to ask about Donaldson and Goldschmidt. Good stuff. So, yeah, how's fantasy going for you, Al?
Well, you know, I think you may have dubbed me the champion of the deep leagues, and I'm you know, that's definitely been where my success has been so far. I'm very mediocre in all of our 12-team leagues. It's not going well. Scott's just a little speck on the horizon. but third in Tout Wars right now, second in our AO-only league that Scott and I and Heath are all in, and second in the NL league. And Scott, you're first in it's the AL, I think, right?
I think so, yeah. There's been a little more movement in those leagues, but... Yeah, I'm definitely better in the AL than the NL. NL, I'm kind of middle of the pack right now.
But I'm second in both. So the deep leagues are going well.
Okay. And I'm going to try to win this week in the podcast league, despite David Price's, I think, -6.5 points yesterday. Standouts from yesterday that we didn't talk about. We did talk about Rich Hill. He's 58% owned. I think we should discuss Colby Rasmus, 79% owned. Two home runs yesterday. Rasmus is 29 years old. He's batting .311 with five home runs. He's a top... Definitely top 20 outfielder, maybe more like top 10 right now. Terrific start for him, and 14 walks, 15 strikeouts for Colby Rasmus. So, what do you think about him?
That many walks. I didn't notice that.
I didn't either.
Did I get that wrong? Can you look that up for me?
No, I saw a 23% rate, so it's high, whatever it is. 14 walks.
Okay.
Yeah, 15 strikeouts. That's pretty cool. And, yeah, the strikeouts are strikeouts are down, so... he's somebody who I'd say, okay, five home runs in 2.5 weeks. Yeah, I could buy that from Colby Rasmus. He's kind of a streaky power hitter. Mm-hmm. But the improved plate discipline is definitely something that I should have been paying attention to and definitely am now.
Yeah, I wasn't really motivated, knowing his streakiness. Like, he's a guy who faked me out so many times early in his career. I thought he was finally breaking through. But with the improved walk rate, that's notable. And the fact he's still available in 21% of leagues is why... why I can't get that excited about like a Jake Lamb or Michael Saunders right now. I know there are some leagues out there, of course, because there is a difference in percentage where Rasmus is owned and those guys aren't. But I think there's a lot of people in the standard sides league. They're all available, you know.
His chase rate on pitches out of the zone is 21% now. That's really, really low. And about 8 to 10 points between what where he typically is.
He's locked in. Now, you know, we should look up, and I would do this myself, but can't get on the internet, whatever. Long story. But he was great in September. No, it was more like October, like the last week of the regular season and then in the playoffs. I wonder what his plate discipline was like there, because maybe he just goes... We know he goes into these hot streaks.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the plate discipline accompanies the hot streaks, typically for Colby Rasmus, or if this is an anomaly.
Well, it wasn't at the end of last season. And in the playoffs... 7-7. 1-1 strikeout to walk ratio in the playoffs. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Rasmus again, 79% owned. Any other big standouts that I missed from yesterday's action?
I've got a few. I think some of these are further in the notes anyway. But Robinson Cano with another home run, so he's up to 6 now. But hitting only .246, and there's two ways at least you can look at this. And one is just we're not even 3 weeks into the season. A couple of games can make a huge difference in the batting average. You know, batting average is probably the last thing that you want to make a decision based on one way or the other this early in the season. But... he is also hitting flies and pulling the ball at the highest rates of his career. Now, again, you could take the same approach there and say small samples. Mm-hmm. A week ago, Christian Yelich looked like he was a fly ball hitter. Now he's back to being who he's always been. So maybe in a week, Cano normalizes in those areas. But if he stays on this trajectory, the power's going to come at a price.
Yeah, I wonder if he's a... Okay, let's just say hypothetically he hits .250 or .260, but he hits 30 home runs. Probably a top 5 second baseman.
Oh, well, definitely.
Because Dozier is every year,
exactly.
And he hits 230.
Yeah.
So
doesn't hit near 30 home runs either.
Right.
Right.
But he does steal some bases.
So, no, it gives him... That's a good point. So, it's by the hit to the batting average, if he stays on something close to this trajectory, it's definitely an upgrade.
How about you, Scotty White? Got anybody?
I feel like Travis Shaw... you know, up on pace for 76 doubles. His point production has been higher than maybe we've given it credit for here in the early going, and pretty good on base skills. He's showing I keep reading about how, at least from beat writers, how impressed they are with his defense at third base, because there was some worry he may not be able to hold up there. So comparing him to somebody like Jake Lamb, I think I would rather have Shaw. And there's dual eligibility there. He can also play first if for some reason you need him there. Hopefully he won't.
But you might. We know first base isn't great.
Mm-hmm. I think Shaw's going to have more points league appeal than Lamb does. I don't know why I say that. I just think maybe there's more doubles potential there.
Lamb himself has 7 doubles.
Yeah, okay. So maybe it's not a good thing to say.
That's
just what my gut's telling me right now.
Your gut.
Yeah.
All right, let me get through the rest of the notes, and then we can take a peek ahead to week 3, and we can do some emails and a little bit of FanDuel advice for you. FanDuel, by the way, we'll tell you more about it in just a moment. But Corey Dickerson sat against a left-handed pitcher, and then he pinch hit, and he doubled at Boston. So, you know, that might happen. Miami called up Jose Urania. Is that bullpen help? Or?
I'm assuming it's bullpen help.
Okay. Billy Hamilton's going to be out a few days with a sore left thumb. What a shame, because he owns John Lester in like 8 plate appearances. But he homered off him last time, earlier this year. So don't start Billy Hamilton today unless you see him in the lineup. Keone Kella will have elbow surgery, likely going to be out for 3 weeks. Hosmer. Yeah.
That makes Sam Dyson in the clear backup for saves in Texas.
It does, but I'm at this point, like, I'm going to be so mad if I drop Sam Dyson in our Roto League and then he becomes the saves guy. But Tolleson's been good enough.
Yeah,
where it's
Tolleson's
like,
been fine.
I'm burning a roster spot on a middle reliever.
And I hear you.
So I think I'm about ready to drop Dyson. Hosmer, JD Martinez, they both have a nice streak going. Hosmer has reached base in 23 straight, dating back to last year. JD Martinez has reached base in 19 straight. Henderson Alvarez will make a rehab start Monday. Is he even an AL-only target?
Oh, he definitely is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we got two players coming off the DL soon. Danny Santana in Minnesota, Carl Crawford for the Dodgers. Will either of these guys have, not picking them up, but will they screw other people?
That's what I'm afraid
like
of.
Like Enrique Hernandez?
Exactly, with Crawford.
And Santana could Buxton. I could see that happening.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well then, FanDuel.
Did you, well, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Yesterday, talk about Aaron Blair?
No. Did we mention him?
We did. We didn't even mention him.
Mention Aaron Blair. He's one of the most viewed players on our site right now, and there's talk that he could come up to start for the Braves on Sunday. I think it's pretty likely. He had 7 no-hit innings, struck out 10 in his last AAA start. I don't know that. I mean, he's a prospect for sure. He's not. This isn't Lucas Giolito or Tyler Glasnow getting called up, though. So let's not rush out and add him right away. I could see if he has a good start, maybe I'd be interested in picking him up kind of on a Rich Hill level.
Okay.
So if you're in a league where there's a lot of competition for Rich Hill, okay, maybe you do pick him up. And then if it's not good, you drop him.
Aaron Blair. Would you rather pick up Blair or Sean Manaea?
Oh, I'd rather have Manaea for the upside.
Me too.
Maniacal. So you know why Scott knew that, Al? Because he actually did write the prospect story. Not you.
No, it wasn't me. Thought maybe I did myself.
I gave Al credit for it yesterday. Oh. He's like, oh, I didn't write that.
Okay.
So
that was me.
Yes, it was. Now, I hope, again, as I said yesterday, I hope you're playing as much fantasy baseball as you can handle, and you got to do that on FanDuel.com. Daily fantasy. FanDuel.com is so much fun. I am in Florida, so I am making a FanDuel lineup today, and I can't wait. I really missed it. I hope you all get in on the action. FanDuel's got leagues for everybody. They got tournaments if you want to, you know, get more risk and more reward. Fewer winners, but bigger payouts. They got 50-50s if you want less risk and a little bit less reward. So a lot of tournaments, a lot of different things you could do on FanDuel.com, and I strongly recommend playing. It's just so much fun to look for value and kind of test your wits, test your skills against other people who love fantasy baseball. And if you're going to play daily fantasy, there is such a clear-cut number one in the industry, and it is FanDuel.com. We're also giving you a new offer. If you enter your first league, either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel's going to be nice enough to say, hey, you know what? Give it another shot. They're going to automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. And the way to get that done, go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code HOMERUN. The promo code is HOMERUN, HOMERUN, with no spaces on FanDuel.com. Okay, in the rotation, Odorizzi, Cueto, Severino, barely talked about him this year. Volquez, another good start for Volquez, 146 ERA. And Marco Estrada, only 80% owned and kind of picking up where he left off last year.
Now, Cueto and Volquez were two pitchers that when you asked about standouts, I wanted to talk about them, but I figured we were getting to them. And I'm pretty much now convinced that Cueto is back, and I think that you could maybe look at the start and see the 3 strikeouts and still kind of have Cueto on probation. But he only had the one season, really, where he was a better than average strikeout pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you look at the whole of what he's done this year, that's probably, you know, 7/9. That's probably a reasonable expectation. But as I mentioned earlier on, he's got a very long history of being very good with balls in play. And the control has been really very good so far. So that's a formula that's made Cueto a top fantasy pitcher in the past. It might not look that impressive on paper, but I think he's back.
And Volquez,
this is completely a mirage. 90% strand rate. XFIP is in the mid-3s, which, again, is not bad. But for somebody that you can't count on for strikeouts or good control, that's very mediocre.
Right. He had a 10-strikeout game. That's inflated his strikeout numbers. Volquez otherwise has been pedestrian in that category. Yeah. Severino is just not pitching that well. This was his best start. 6 innings, 7 hits, 2 runs, no walks, 4 strikeouts against the A's. Severino has a 486 ERA, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts, and 16 and 2/3. He does have a 397 BABIP. Last year gave up a lot of home runs. This year, not so much. I know in one of the starts, I think it was against the Tigers, he got singled to death. I think he gave up 10 hits, 9 singles, or something like that.
Yeah.
So what do you make of Severino? I wasn't really that high on him coming in. Then he had a great spring, and I thought maybe I'd be missing out. But I'm sort of back to not being that high on him.
I think there's a enough reason to be optimistic still that I'm not like downgrading him. It's been an underwhelming start. I'd like to see more strikeouts, but you know he has that potential there. And the fact he's only walked one batter through three starts.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was the season stat you cited.
Yeah,
right?
One
it raised
walk
an
11.
Eyebrow for me. I
one walk,
11 it.
Strikeouts, yeah.
But yeah, that makes it even more encouraging. You know, we could get down on Patrick Corbin, too, you know?
You know,
and there's no reason. I don't think there's enough reason to.
There was always something about him. Severino never seemed like a finished product to me, and I still don't think he is. And it was pointed out on one of the broadcasts that he has, I think, the highest average velocity in the American League on all of his pitches combined. And that is, for Severino, he doesn't have enough difference between his fastball and his off-speed pitches. So he still seems like a guy who's sort of learning how to pitch.
I could see that. But I will point out that his minor league track record was remarkably consistent. Like, just judging from the numbers, it seemed like there was nothing else he could learn down there.
In the bullpen, Ryan Madsen got a save. Sean Doolittle had pitched in two straight games, but Madsen's got six saves, so he seems to be the preferred option. Cody Allen blew a save. Any concerns?
Yeah, no. I feel like he always does.
Yes,
this.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he was top reliever in FIP last year, I want to say. But you'd never know it because he just didn't seem nearly as dominant as the studs, obviously.
Well, Allen finished last year with a 2.99 ERA, which isn't great for a closer, but he had an 11.57 ERA in April, and he was pretty damn good after that.
Okay.
And Alex Colomé has three saves, and he's off to a good start.
Three saves in the last 5 days.
Do you think there's a chance he keeps the job when Boxberger returns?
I do. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm counting on that, but it's enough that it really dampens my enthusiasm for Boxberger when he returns.
And I am going to say four names of pitchers who are available in deep leagues, and tell me if you'd be interested in picking any of them up. Jared Weaver, Matt Wisler, Ricky Nolasco, Tom Kohler.
Definitely Wisler. He is now pretty much what he was advertised to be when he was a prospect. Not expected to be a strikeout pitcher, hasn't been that, but really great control and you know, fly ball guy who will get outs, you know, with pop-ups, fly balls in general. And, you know, unfortunately, just probably not going to get a whole lot of run support. But good deep league target.
He reminds me a lot of Jordan Zimmermann. They have similar velocity. Wizard's a more extreme fly ball guy, but very good control. And I think that's the upside for him.
So would you rather pick up Wisler or would you rather stash a prospect on the Manaea level?
Probably pick up Wisler.
Really?
Yeah. But he's the only one even in that discussion of these four.
Rich Hill or Matt Wisler?
Rich Hill for me, and it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
A lot more upside.
Kevin Gausman. Kevin Gausman or Matt Wisler?
I'll take Wisler. Gausman's just underwhelmed too many times.
Yeah, I'm still...
Al loves him. Al loves him.
I'm still hanging on with Gausman.
Fellas, tell me about maybe some players on the most added list.
Well, can I just throw in one stack?
Yeah, while you do that, Scott, why don't you pull up that most added list?
Okay, so Ricky Nolasco was in this group.
Yeah.
And it's been a long, long time since I've recommended people doing anything with Nolasco other than dropping him.
Mm-hmm.
But at 4%, he's available in some AL-only leagues, you know, some pretty deep leagues. And He's been pretty good so far. An 80% ground ball rate on his sinker, and I've never thought of Nolasco as a sinker ball guy, or never been that much of a ground ball pitcher. But maybe this is a change. If it does stick, he could be the most effective he's been in a long time.
Good thing I don't play in any leagues where I'd even be tempted to pick up Ricky Nolasco, because that would probably give me a stomachache. All right, who are some of the intriguing players on the most added list that we haven't really talked about?
Well, I think we've talked a lot about Salta Lamacchia, Aledmys Diaz, and Matt Latos, right?
Mm-hmm. And to sum it up, we're not buying Matt Latos.
No.
Salta Lamacchia, got some pop.
Been picking him up.
Second catcher.
And Diaz, sure, take a shot if you need a shortstop.
I don't know. I'm over Diaz. He's sat two of the last three games. And I don't know. I'm not confident playing tides there.
It was a concern. That was
and
a concern.
I'm not over them. I think that this is probably a short-term thing because they're concerned about his defense.
Yeah.
The comments from Mike Matheny suggested that they're going to stick with him over the longer term. And the offensive potential, even though shortstop has gotten so much better and there's so much great young talent there, I mean, what he's done, you know, latter part of last season, the minors, and so far this year is really, really intriguing. I want to give him a shot.
What about Salta Lamakia versus Yadier Molina, who's also on the most added list and is off to a much more productive start than I would have imagined based on how last year went for him? Five doubles and a triple already, batting .345.
Who would I rather pick up?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the upside for Molina at this point is Francisco Cervelli, which is not bad.
No, not bad at all.
I'd take that over Salta Lamakia.
I also feel like, I'm going to look it up, but I feel like Molina plays so much that he actually didn't finish that low in the catcher rankings last year, despite not being very productive.
But yeah, probably right a big now. Difference between points and Roto, because his percentages.
Yeah, he was number 8. He was number 8 in points last year, Molina, and number 16 in Roto.
Yeah.
But he just plays a lot. Fourth most at bats at the position in 2015.
But that huge gap, you know, tells you something about the value of his time played.
Sure.
And no, I actually would rather have Salty because it's just Molina's been underwhelming for, you know, a couple years going into this. So I'm not buying in just yet.
Markakis is high on the list. We talked about him a little earlier, but to go into greater detail, I feel like he's showing a little more power this year than he did in his first year back from neck surgery last year. Already has 9 doubles, leads the majors. He had 38 last year, but I just feel like that 3 in the home run column is going to be closer to the 10 or 12 we were used to before last year. And good source of batting average. I think he's a little undervalued.
Okay. One more.
How about, I mean, Ryan Madsen, he's the Athletics closer, right? We don't got another save yesterday up to 6.
But I don't think Doolittle was available because he had pitched in 2 straight.
And it seems like it's just the circumstances have really not gone in Doolittle's favor so far this year. I don't think either one is the full-time closer.
I think if it were Game 7 of the World Series and they were in it, and they should probably be on the road because they win every road game. They're best road team in baseball, I think Madsen would get the call. He's been a lot better than Doolittle.
Yeah. I mean, the save count is, what, 6-1?
It's 1 or 2.
And lately it's trended more Madsen, so I don't know. I think it's,
well,
maybe they're not saying it, but I think that's their preference.
This is what I said on Monday, though. I'm still not ready to drop Sean Doolittle.
Okay. You don't have to be.
In a league where everybody who gets saves is owned,
Would you drop Sean Doolittle or Jamar Gomez, you know, if it came to that?
Do I own Madsen?
No.
I'd rather have Gomez.
It's a league where those are bench options for me, and they hopefully would be, I'm dropping Gomez.
I don't really believe in like bench options at closer. It's like if I own closers, they're starting for me.
Well, no,
unless
but if it's
a guy like
but
Madsen.
A league that you said, you know, there aren't really saves on waivers.
Right.
Then yeah, like, you want a stash.
Yes. You'd rather own who in that case?
In that case, I actually would rather own Doolittle.
All right. He's been better lately. I'd like for him to just be terrible so we could just get over it and move on to Ryan Madsen.
I really do think that maybe we are entering a little bit of a different era with closer usage, and that maybe
I don't buy it. I think these guys are full of crap. They're full of crap. This is exactly what in the preseason what I read about Sean Tolleson. It doesn't happen. He gets all the save chances. Mm-hmm. They bring in Diekman for the lefties, and they bring in Sam Dyson for, you know, typical eighth inning usage, and Tolleson's their closer.
162 games every day. I just feel like. I don't feel like a normal person could not fall into habits, could not become push button with certain decisions. Like maybe the stats support another way, but I just don't think anyone has the, or not many people have the ability to, just be that committed to it. You know,
baseball players like to know their roles.
And
they
that
do.
Too.
They like to know.
You'd have to get buy-in for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, give me. I wanted to save time for emails, so give me some 2-start pitchers. Let's say less than 60% owned that you would recommend picking up this week? For week three.
There's a few, and I don't have those percentages right in front of me, but there it seems to be quite a few in that kind of like 50 to 65 range.
Hit me with it.
Nelson, I think Jimmy Nelson is in that range.
71.
Okay, a little high. Rick Porcello, Rich Hill, Drew Pomeranz. I think those guys are all kind of in that ownership range.
And you recommend how many of them?
I would recommend, the only one I really have a question about is Nelson, because he's got the Cubs for his first start. Good number of lefties in that lineup. Still stinking against lefties this year. The matchups matter so much for Jimmy Nelson. He's got the Marlins. I don't worry too much about that lineup for him. But I think the Cubs, even in a points league, could make it a pretty bad week. So I'd lean no on Nelson.
What are Porcello's matchups?
Scott, do you have that open right now?
Yeah, Porcello's are the Braves and the Yankees.
There you go.
I mean, it's worth it,
I guess. That's definitely worth it. Those are pretty good matchups. And I like what Porcello's done so far.
Did you mention Pomeranz?
I did, and I think you got to start him.
Yeah. He's going head to, at least as things stand now, going head to head with Bumgarner and Kershaw. But I think the percentage will be good enough that you could live without the win.
Any other guys?
Going deeper, Kendall Graveman at Detroit versus Houston.
Okay.
He's one of those guys that I think is very trustworthy in a two-start week, but you almost never would start him with one.
If I could roster Whistler, I mean, the matchups look bad, Boston Cubs. If I could roster Whistler in a points league, I'd go for it. Okay. Roto, probably not worth it.
Yeah.
If you're not quite ready to pick up Whistler, there's a good chance he struggles next week. Those are two tough matchups. Mm-hmm. Then you can pick him up after that if you believe in him.
Sure.
Yeah. If you don't have to start him also if you pick him up.
If he's good in those games.
Then you're screwed. Then you missed your chance.
Well, I mean, that's even more reason to pick him up is what I was saying.
Yeah, that's true.
Now we talked about Shelby Miller on the drop-a-meter, and I was fine with dropping him. So I'm definitely fine with actually not starting him with two starts.
Oh, yeah. You can't start. It's four innings.
Cardinals and, Cardinals and Rockies. And the other one, same ownership rate, 85%, Julio Teheran. Red Sox and Cubs not doing it.
No way.
Yeah, that's pretty scary. I might do it in a points league. Absolutely not for Miller, but I might. Because Teheran at least is giving some innings.
Yeah,
you know? Yes.
In FanDuel, I like Matt Moore tonight. I actually don't like the high-priced pitchers tonight. They just, you know, like Sonny Gray's at Toronto. I don't remember all the pitchers, but I like the bargains. Matt Moore at 7,600 is great. Aaron Nola at 6,900 at Milwaukee. Milwaukee has the fourth most strikeouts in baseball. And Aaron Sanchez against Oakland, I think, makes sense, too. Those are three guys I'd be looking at. Logan Forsythe, 3,300. I think he's kind of a must. He has good history against Sabathia, and he's very good against lefties. Evan Longoria is 2,900, and he has an OPS nearly 1,300 in 77 plate appearances against Sabathia. 77 plate appearances for Evan Longoria against Sabathia. He has struck out six times. Also, he had a 960 OPS against lefties last year. Not quite there yet this year. Ryan Rayburn against Scott Kazmir. That's a recommendation from Heath Cummings. Kazmir at the Rockies, so these guys are high-priced, but Rayburn, 3,400, very affordable. And just look for that Dodgers-Rockies matchup and see if there are any values. And again, I would avoid Jason Kipnis, 4 for 42 with 7 walks and 14 strikeouts against Verlander. And there are a lot of good left-handed Rangers that you might want. Jose Quintana, pretty consistently good against lefties. So, you know, I wouldn't play Fielder or Odor. I'd avoid lefty Rangers. And there's your FanDuel advice. Okay, let's read some emails. Andy in Pittsburgh. Dear Donald, Fauntle, and Roy?
Now, the only thing I know is Little Lord Fauntleroy. Is that a Donald? I don't know.
I have no idea. I need steals. I picked up Malik Smith, but so far he hasn't been very good. Would you hold on to Malik Smith for a while longer, or look for Angel Pagan, or Rajay Davis, or Domingo Santana, needing steals?
The latter. Santana's not going to give you steals. He never did that in the minors either. But I think if steals were the top priority, I would go Davis over Pagan, even though Pagan little more rounded. Davis has been playing every day for the Indians. Tyler Naquin hasn't, but Davis has. So
I thought Naquin only sits against lefties. So they play them both against lefties?
No, they play, them both against righties.
Righties.
Davis has bounced around the three outfield spots, but he's been in there every day. And
but Brantley's coming back,
contributing steals.
So. Soon.
I know, but
That doesn't mean he can't get steals.
I wonder if Naquin's going to be in the majors for long, I guess.
Yeah, it's fair.
I have an important update.
Okay.
Fauntleroy is Donald Duck's middle name.
Really?
Well, that's what Google just taught
me. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, grade the trade. Mike from Newfoundland, Canada. Steven Strasburg for Andrew McCutcheon. Give up Strasburg, get McCutcheon. 16-team points league.
It's a B. It's good.
B minus.
McCutcheon better in points leagues than Roto, or better in anything that counts walks, because he walks a lot. Casey in Philadelphia. Dear Mick, Keith, and Charlie, I don't know any. I know two band members in Rolling Stones, but there's got to be a Charlie in there.
Charlie Watts.
There you go.
The drummer.
Charlie Watts. Kendall Graveman, is he worth a pickup in a 12-team league?
For this week, two starts, yes.
Okay. From Christian in Chicago. Dear Purple Rain, Raspberry Beret, and Red Corvette. You know that, Scott?
Yeah, we were just talking about
it. Figured
that.
It out by now? Okay. Yeah.
I've heard a few of those mentioned in the last 24 hours.
A panicked owner in my team, in my 10-team head-to-head categories league, has dropped Brian Dozier. I currently have Rendon at second base. I also picked up Segura. Is it worth dropping any of these guys to nab Dozier? Granderson, Segura, Parra, or Verlander in a 10-team league?
I think either Segura or Parra in a 10-teamer is fair game to drop.
Yep.
Jason from Sonoma, California. Dear Tommy, Richard, and Zielinski.
Nope.
Come on! What are
I feel
all,
like I should know.
All-time great
oh,
comedies.
Oh, Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy it is.
Yes.
In a 10-team Roto League, I give up Chris Archer. I get Michael Brantley, grade the trade.
C-. And I like Brantley. Somebody keeps trying to get him from me in the podcast league, and it's just like...
Not happening.
I'm getting tired of hitting reject.
I'll go even C.
So just ignore it, dude. That's a total jerk move. Just ignore
I just talked about how that was one of my pet peeves on the podcast the other day, not responding to trade offers.
Yeah. Ooh, man, I haven't... I made one trade. That's just Fowler for Braun. That's the only trade I've made so far.
It's a good one.
We got it. Yeah. Braun is having a great year, huh?
Very good
start.
He is.
Encouraging start. He is now on three of my teams. Brian Braun is now kind of like my guy, going to determine fantasy for me in a lot of leagues. All right, fellas, thank you very much for your time. Enjoy your weekend. Let's find out who knows who Paul Goldschmidt and Josh Donaldson are. And everybody, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Monday. You can email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. See you later.